is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. More U.S. airstrikes on Houthi targets in Yemen. White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby says they are in response to the attack on a U.S.-flagged cargo ship in the Gulf of Aden.
These attacks are a clear example of terrorism, violation of international law, and a major threat to innocent lives and to global commerce.
The White House today relisted the Iran-backed militia as a global terrorist organization. The prosecutor investigating the armed gang takeover of a live TV broadcast in Ecuador has been murdered. Cesar Suarez was shot on a main avenue in the province where that takeover took place. President Biden and congressional leaders meeting again today, trying to come to terms on what should be included in a new spending package. At least 31 deaths have now been blamed on winter weather since Sunday. First ABC, now CNN in New Hampshire, canceling the debate since Nikki Haley won't participate. This is ABC News. The family of an Illinois teenager with autism is outraged after police tased him in a case of mistaken identity.
Body camera video obtained by our station WLS is showing officers apprehending 14-year-old Avarius Thompson last November. Thompson's family says he was returning home from getting snacks at the grocery store when he was tased multiple times in their own backyard.
Don't move! You move, you gotta get some more!
Dalton, Illinois police say they were called to assist neighboring Riverdale police who were searching for four suspects, two carrying rifles and a handgun. Thompson's clothes, quote, matching the description. Thompson hospitalized with tase marks on his body and a fractured hip.
ABC's Alex Perez. Conservationists in Kenya are trying to save critically endangered black rhinos. They want to tranquilize and move 21 of them to new homes. Officials attempted the same thing in 2018, but all of the 11 rhinos involved in that relocation died. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making.
That's Tom Derzwicki from Bayside Ice and Recovery in Suamico. He's been rescuing people and their trucks after falling through thin ice for more than 20 years.
The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on a pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know, that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot, 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack.
DNR officials say check with locals who know the conditions, but also know ice safety is never 100%.
Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
300,000 people ice fish in Wisconsin. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Republicans appear to have hit an impasse over legalizing medical marijuana. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says creating state-run dispensaries is a non-starter. Assembly Speaker Robin Foss says he won't compromise to address Senate Republicans' concerns. Foss says the bill is the result of months of talks. Governor Evers says Republican senators were wrong to fire Public Service Commissioner Tyler Huebner. Senator Brad Paff was himself fired as acting Agriculture Secretary. He says Republicans are playing politics with the governor's appointments.
This rigid partisan ideology accomplishes nothing for the people of this state. And quite frankly, it just demonstrates to them that the government is broken and it does not work.
Republicans point out they've confirmed more than 480 of Evers' appointees. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers lose on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers fall to the Nittany Lions at Penn State. Matt LePay.
With 0.4 seconds left, they'll get it into Baldwin. It's over. Penn State, a four-point winner here at the Bryce Jordan Center as the students make their way onto the floor here in State College.
The final 87-83, the Badgers got into foul trouble early. Head coach Greg Gard.
Four times we fouled jump shooters, and we hadn't done that in a while. I thought we had kind of move past that.
So now the Badgers are 13-4. They host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers installing the game plan for Saturday night's game against the 49ers. Sometimes teams go a day early when playing games on the West Coast, but Matt LaFleur declined.
It's something we talked about, but we figured it'd be best to stay in our normal routine. It's a short week anyways, has its own set of challenges, and just felt like it was best for us to stay in as normal as a routine as possible.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows near 0 degrees. For Thursday, partly sunny, a high near 12, wind chills still slightly below zero most of the day. Some afternoon snow showers are possible. Snow likely Thursday night, less than an inch of accumulation. Chilly again, 15 below zero. Currently, it's 10.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring from high above on Alaska and French Island, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490. One, two, one, two, three, four. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, hour number two, broadcasting live statewide from beautiful City Deck Landing in Green Bay from our WGBW studios. Great to have you with me on a Wednesday night, talking showbiz, movies, TV. We just had a great conversation with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Always love getting the opinions of people who do this for a living, who talk about show business, write about show business, and do that for a living. Because I always expect him to be jaded, but Chris just had a great outlook on, you know, he still got his favorites, and he did not seem jaded at all either. I love that when critics aren't jaded. Not that he's a critic, but, you know, when you watch enough, you tend to be a little more picky. And I like talking to people that still really enjoy great movies and TV and aren't too jaded. Like, I myself can catch myself becoming jaded at times. Conrad, are you jaded yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Stay that way. It's good to have hope. Our question tonight on Jim Carrey's 62nd birthday, what is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? I already read the Better Call Saul text from the 715. Great world to get lost in Better Call Saul. Like it better than Breaking Bad. Okay. You know what? I did too, actually. I was more of a Better Call Saul fan. I thought, well, that's a discussion for another night. From the 715 also, I also like Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. That's a good one. From the 714, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective is my favorite. 714, I think that's Costa Mesa, but another Ace Ventura vote. Conrad, you're in good company tonight, buddy. and then finally, from the 818, Dumb and Dumber all the way, the best. I agree with that. That's my favorite Jim Carrey. So we might, our Jim Carrey films might be tied tonight.
I think so.
They each got three votes.
So. Yeah.
Either way, thank you for your texts. And just a little bit, comedian Des Mulrooney will be here, not here, but he'll call in, and he is performing in Janesville, Wisconsin tomorrow night. So we'll talk to Des in a little bit. But right now, I'm excited to introduce my next guest. He is an author and one of Wisconsin's own, James P. Roberts. James is here. Hi, James. How are you?
Hi, Pete. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for taking the time out on a very cold Wednesday night. So where are you calling from, James? What part of the state are you located in?
I'm in Madison, and okay, to get the important thing out of the way, my favorite Jim Carrey movie is The Mask.
Okay. So, all right, first of all, I want to say I'm glad you weighed in on that, because you're an author, you're a poet, and you're going to talk about this event coming up. I love it that you still are on ground level and can still watch Jim Carrey movies. So as a former English major myself, I appreciate that, because I go for the silly as well.
Well, actually, since it's James Earl Jones's birthday, my all-time favorite movie is Field of Dreams.
Oh, he was great in that, wasn't he?
You know that in the book, his part was supposed to be J.D. Salinger?
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. Ray Kinsella goes and kidnaps J.D. Salinger and takes him to a Red Sox ball game.
Oh, that's great. You know, it's funny. James Earl Jones had a stutter, or they call it a stammer, and he would write poetry. He would write to express himself because he was scared to talk. And then someone encouraged him at some point in his life, you know, to express himself using his voice. And what a voice he has. I mean, just a phenomenal actor and still kicking at 93 today. So,
yes.
But thank you for that, that bit of trivia regarding Field of Dreams. So, yeah. Okay. So James, you're here. You wanted to talk about an event that's coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's called the Winter Festival of Poetry. And it's an 8-week-long series of poetry readings held on Sunday afternoons. The first one will be January 21st, this coming Sunday.
Okay.
And it will run through Sunday, March 10th.
Oh, nice.
And each week, 6 poets will get up and read for about 10 to 12 minutes each. So it goes from 2 until 3:30 p.m.
Wow. Yeah,
and
okay.
It's some of the area's finest poets. And it's been going on for over 35 years now.
That is really cool. You have a title here. I wrote this down. You've written several books, but you're the not poet laureate. Help me out here.
I'm the South Central Region Vice President.
That's
for
it.
The Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets, which is a state organization that's been in existence since 1950. And it has about 500 members statewide.
Really?
Yeah. And it has a website, www.wfop.org.
Okay.
If you want more information.
Very nice. Is Wisconsin, would you say, do we have more poets here than other states per capita, would you say? Or, I mean, because sometimes you learn about something that I know that I was, like I said, I was an English major. I didn't know this existed. So to help get the word out, I mean, are there great poets here in Wisconsin? Where can we find their work?
Oh, there's some fabulous poets in Wisconsin. In fact, Wisconsin has a state poet laureate.
Okay.
And Madison has a city poet laureate.
No kidding.
Yeah. Dasha Kelly Hamilton, I believe, is still the current state poet laureate, but we just had a new city poet laureate named Stephen Espada Dawson.
You know, this is really embarrassing, but I actually kind of knew that. I know Dasha. I've actually co-hosted a radio show with her twice, and this is all coming back to me now that you said that. And this is after me Googling and not seeing her name because I would have recognized it. But she is a wonderful person. So she's still the poet laureate of Wisconsin?
As far as I know, yes, I believe so.
Wow. Okay, so... tell us about your book. You wrote a book, Famous Wisconsin Authors. Where can people see that, and what authors do you have featured in there?
Well, it was published in 2002, so it's over 20 years old. And it's 35 Wisconsin writers, August Derleth, Zona Gale. The most recent was like Jane Hamilton and Jacqueline Michard and Kelly Cherry, you know, early 2000s. So.
Okay.
It's been a while, and you can probably still find some copies on Amazon, but I doubt if it's around. I know I'm out of any copies, my personal copies.
You know, I don't know if you're like me or if listeners are like me. I still prefer a book over reading something on the iPad, and there's just something about actually turning pages that I like. But I wanted to ask you, I'm doing my research on you, James. I hope you're prepared for this. You have an alter ego, as I understand it, and you're called the Captain. Can you tell us what that's about?
I'm a part-time musician, you might say. I do play guitar, and I go to musical open mics around the Madison area, and my persona is the Captain there. My favorite band when I grew up was called Sailor.
Okay.
And they had a couple of minor top 10, 40 hits in the mid-70s.
Nice.
But they were interesting because they featured twin-synthesized Nickelodeons.
Really?
Amongst a variety of exotic musical instruments. They had a very unique sound. If you remember Roxy Music and Brian Ferry, they sounded something like that.
That's really cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So you play in and around Madison, I would assume?
Yep, when I can. But the Winter Festival poetry takes precedence right now.
Yeah. And I'm not going to let you off the hook here, James. You kind of downplayed your book. You said it was old 20 years ago, but you were the winner of the Portage Press Poetry Book Prize for your book, 100 Breaths, published by Portage Press. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was interesting because I've been writing over 40 years since I was in high school and getting published here and there. And that was the first time I'd ever won such a contest. Yeah. It was a blind judging contest. You know, they didn't know who I was. So, so very proud of that book. And there's still a few copies available here and there. And maybe if we have time later on, I'll read a poem or two from it.
I think that would be really cool. You'll have to come back as well. But so for people in Madison, tell us the venue one more time. January 21st to March 10th.
Okay, it's at the Art and Literature Laboratory.
Okay.
111 South Livingston Street. It's right across from the Sylvie.
Okay. And it starts...
You know where that is, off of East Washington. It's a brand new entertainment venue and very popular.
It's funny, when I was kind of reading up about you, James, I saw that... And just from knowing people that still read books now on iPads, I thought of, and I had to kind of look this up again because it had been years since I had studied poetry, but William Wordsworth, the poem, "The World is Too Much with Us." And I would say that to my kids over the years when they would get lost in their phones. I would kind of, as an aside, just say, "Oh, the world is too much with us," because I don't like all these devices. And sometimes my kids had more than one device going at a time. I'm like, how can your brain even relax? But we even read books on our electronic devices now. So I think that that poem for sure holds up after probably a century now.
Well, I'm not one of those that reads books on electronic devices. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Winter Festival of Poetry, it's had some very special moments. One of the things I try to do is come up with a different theme each year.
Okay.
To generate public interest and to make it more fun and challenging for the poets themselves. They don't have to write a poem on the theme, but just in case. So I've been doing this since 2010, except for 2021, of course, when we had to cancel because of the pandemic. But one of my favorite memories was in 2014, when a fellow named Carney Lentz used his last poem to propose to his girlfriend.
Oh, nice. And that happened at one of your events?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
great. At the
Winter
Festival of Poetry. Yeah, he had emailed me a couple days before asking if it was all right if he could do this. And I said, sure. And I made him the last poet of the day, so we ended on a very high note.
Did you make him do the proposal in iambic pentameter?
No, but okay. He did say yes.
Well, that's the important thing. So this year's theme is Under the Big Top, if I got that right.
Celebrating the history of the circus.
Oh, that's so
great. Which, of course, has Wisconsin ties. Ringling Brothers and Vernon Bailey started here.
James, I'll tell you what. We have to do a very quick break, and then do you want to read a poem before we let you go?
No problem.
Okay, we just have to do a very quick break. James is going to read a poem, tell us one more time about his event, and then that's what we'll do. So, and then James, I also want to ask you what you're watching too, because that's what we talk about on this show night after night, is movies and TV. So this is Pete Schwabba, and you are listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back. It is a tie tonight between Jim Carrey movies, Ace Ventura and Dumb and Dumber, on Jim Carrey's birthday. We put it out to texters. We got three for each. And then a smattering of other Jim Carrey films that are all fine works of laughter. Right now on the phone with me is author and one of Wisconsin's own James P. Roberts. James, before we went to the break, you said you were going to read one of your poems. So if you would, please, before I ask you what you watch on TV, let's hear one of your works.
Okay, this is from my collection, 100 Breaths. And one of my interests is little free libraries. Nice. And I was actually on the program Wisconsin Life a few years ago, being filmed about the Little Free Library. So this is called Midnight Curator of the Little Free Libraries.
All right.
I call them my children, these repositories of the last read. Little boxes of books like fields of colorful poppies all around the city of lakes. In them, I search for the old, the out of place, the curiously strange, in hopes of a future revelation. At midnight, I make my rounds, for that is when the books come alive. I hear them speak in that language which lies beyond the printed page. One or two I take home, new orphans of the technological war. The remainders are straightened properly, arranged like obedient soldiers. I close the wobbly door and leave the little free library standing by itself in the space between shadows, a sentinel in the moonlight.
Very nice, James. That's great. I love those little libraries, by the way, too. We have some of those where I live, and there's just a nice little kind of symbol, I guess, of, you know.
Madison has over 500 of them that I know.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Well, if I ever get married again, my wife will be surprised because I'm not divorced, but I will pick one of your poetry events. That is my vow to you. What do you have? What do you watch, James? What is a poet and an author watch on a cold Wisconsin night, movies or TV?
I usually watch movies. Sometimes I'll binge watch. I'm a cinephile. I have everything from Fritz Lang and Ernst Lubitsch of the 20s. All the way up. The last movie I watched was The Shape of Water.
Okay.
Guillermo del Toro's.
Sure.
Is that what? So I don't usually binge watch Pirates of the Caribbean or Harry Potter, things like that, or Indiana Jones.
Well, that's good to know. Well, I appreciate your time tonight, James. Thanks so much, and good luck with the Winter Festival. This is your theme, Under the
January
Big Top?
21st through March 10th at the Arts and Literature Laboratory.
Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m., correct?
At 2 p.m., yes.
All right. Continued success. And, don't be a stranger. Come back again, would you?
Hope to see you down here sometime, too. Thanks.
All right. Likewise. Thanks, James. Have a great night. That's James P. Roberts, Wisconsin author and the founder, but the sort of overseer of this year's Winter Festival of Poetry, which takes place in Madison. Great to talk to James. In just a few minutes, comedian Des Mulrooney will be here. He is working in Janesville tomorrow night doing stand-up comedy, and I highly recommend it. Conrad, I think we got to get one more. You know what? Do you have the James Earl Jones clip?
Yeah.
Because I was just talking about that. And James Earl Jones, we have a clip of this too, him talking about his stutter or stammer, as he calls it, and how he used to write poetry and used to write to express himself, and how he kind of came out of that shell. Let's play that clip.
James Earl Jones remained virtually mute for 8 years of his early life because of a stammer. Today, his regal bass has become one of the most recognizable voices in America.
I was a stutterer. I couldn't talk. And I became just a nonverbal person. I became a writer, you know. Donald Crouch in high school said, do you like these words? And I was then writing words of my own. He said, do you like these words? Do you like the way they sound in your head? He says, well, they sound 10 times better when you give them out in the air. It's too bad you can't say these words. He began to challenge me and nudge me toward speaking again. And by using my own poetry and then other poets, he himself said he learned a poem a day in case he went blind. You know, he'd have a whole book of poems in his head. And he nudged me toward that, toward the you know, acknowledging and appreciating the beauty of words.
That's James Earl Jones, someone who didn't talk for the first 8 years of his life and went on to become very famous for his voice. One of his characters was Darth Vader. So that's quite a jump. We got another texter here from the 920 says Ace Ventura. Oh, and it's Conrad.
Yep.
You know who that is?
Yes.
All right. Do you think that's favoritism? You think he's tie-breaking? He's tie-breaking because he knows your favorite movie is Ace Ventura and my favorite Jim Carrey movie is Dumb and Dumber. So Conrad's dad broke the tie. That's a very good father. Very nice. I'll take the loss. Do we have another Jim Carrey? We have another Jim Carrey clip. Let's do one more. I think we have time before we go to the break, don't we?
Yeah. So this one's from SNL. They did a skit. It's called the Carrey Family Reunion, and all the actors right. in SNL do a part from Carrey's past movies.
It's great.
Can I get another drink? Hey, Jim. Percy Carrey, how are you, man? I heard you became an incredible skateboarder.
I like it a lot.
Sound familiar? But seriously, I am super into skateboarding. I grind rails, I do ollies. I've been known to tear up a half pipe. Cause I'm not a lahu zaher. Alrighty then. Alrighty then! Jim! John and Rita Pat Carey. Oh my gosh, did you guys come all the way from Scarborough for this?
We did! It was a bear of a day trying to get this one out of bed this morning!
John, can I talk to you over here for a second, please?
Oh, so I'm the difficult one!
So we have to kind of tell what's happening there. Yeah. She bent over and she was using her butt cheeks like Jim Carrey has been known to do to talk. Do we have time for the other one or will we be cutting it close?
We can do one from the Truman Show right now.
All right. Here's one more Jim Carrey, clip from the Truman Show. Some really solid acting.
Let me get you some help, Truman. You're not well.
Why do you want to have a baby with me? You can't stand me.
That's not true. Why don't you let me fix you some of this new Mococo drink? All natural cocoa beans from the upper slopes of Mount Nicaragua. No artificial sweeteners.
What the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to?
I've tasted other cocos. This is the best.
What the hell does this have to do with anything? Tell me what's happening!
Well, you're having a nervous breakdown. That's what's happening.
You're part of this, aren't you?
Roman! Meryl! You are scaring me!
No. You're scaring me, Meryl. What are you gonna do? Dice me? Slice me or peel me? There's so many choices!
No! Do something!
What? What'd you say?
That's such a haunting movie. Great music there, too. And that's Laura Linney, who plays his wife in The Truman Show. All right, so there you go. When I come back, I am going to talk to a comedian who is on the rise. And by the way, at 10 o'clock, stay tuned if you're in the Madison area for Mad Unity. Great show. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with comedian Desmo Rooney. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. More U.S. airstrikes on Houthi targets in Yemen. White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby says they are in response to the attack on a U.S.-flagged cargo ship in the Gulf of Aden.
These attacks are a clear example of terrorism, violation of international law, and a major threat to innocent lives and to global commerce.
The White House today relisted the Iran-backed militia as a global terrorist organization. The prosecutor investigating the armed gang takeover of a live TV broadcast in Ecuador has been murdered. Cesar Suarez was shot on a main avenue in the province where that takeover took place. President Biden and congressional leaders meeting again today, trying to come to terms on what should be included in a new spending package. At least 31 deaths have now been blamed on winter weather since Sunday. First ABC, now CNN in New Hampshire, canceling the debate since Nikki Haley won't participate. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is one step closer to letting gas stations and other businesses build their own electric vehicle chargers. A bill that passed the state Senate Tuesday would change Wisconsin regulations to allow it. The Senate also approved a nearly $80 million federal grant to cover most of the cost of building new EV chargers. About 15% of Wisconsin's children are obese. State lawmakers are introducing five bills to help kids slim down. One of them would require 180 minutes of physical activity in schools through eighth grade.
Our schools are already required to do PhyEd, but instead of focusing sheerly on the academic section, perhaps on what is tennis, we're going to actually get our kids playing tennis and moving as much as possible.
Representative William Penterman is a member of the Speaker's Childhood Obesity Task Force. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows near 0 degrees. For Thursday, partly sunny, a high near 12, wind chills still slightly below zero most of the day. Some afternoon snow showers are possible. Snow likely Thursday night, less than an inch of accumulation. Chilly again, 15 below zero. Currently, it's 10.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Soaring from high above Holman and UW Lacrosse, this is the Talk of Lacrosse. Eagle 1490.
Blame me. You wanna cash out.
back to Nightlight. Broadcasting live statewide from our studios here at WGBW at beautiful City Deck Landing in downtown Green Bay. It's important, folks. It's important for us to laugh, especially when it's as cold as it is. We have to find ways to warm our souls. We had some great musicians in here last night. And tonight we're going to hopefully we're going to talk a little comedy through the rest of the show here. And it is my pleasure to welcome my next guest, comedian, actor, Des Mulrooney. Des, how are you?
Good to be here, Pete. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, great to have you. So I saw that you were playing in, we'll get into the background of how we met in a little bit, but you are a up-and-coming young comedian, and you're going to be in Janesville tomorrow night. Can you tell us a little bit about the date and where it is and how people can get tickets if they want to go?
Yep. It's the Comedy Cabin in Janesville, Thursday night, so tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tickets will be on their website. Go to the Comedy Cabin at their website, and I'm sure you can get tickets there. I have a link on my Instagram as well. But yeah, it's a new club in Janesville. So it's like, this is, I think it's been open for maybe a year, just recently, not even around there. It's a guy named Nathan Clemens, who basically started a thing in Janesville by himself. I mean, they like the guy is like amazing. He started like a whole comedy scene. I remember doing his rooms up in Janesville. I don't know if you ever worked with him, Pete, but he was a Janesville guy.
Yeah.
And he just started up a scene. I remember talking to him. He's like, yeah, man, I'm thinking about opening up a comedy club. I'm like, really? Like your own club? And it's like, yeah, man, maybe in a couple of years. And he took, you know, took a year or two of planning. And then he just did it. And I did his club a couple of times. And he asked me the headline tomorrow night, with January 18th. And so, it's a fun club and looking forward to it.
So, Des, okay, so how long have you been doing stand-up?
Did stand up like 4 years, I tell people.
Okay.
Because like, so I started in 2019, but you know, with the COVID year, it was just crazy. So like, I don't even know if you count that. I asked people like, do you count that? And they're like, no. I felt like it's roughly 4 years, something like that. You know, maybe round up to five, maybe, but yeah, I'd say around 4 years. I started, I was a senior in high school.
Wow.
When my athletic career fell off, that's when I started. I was an aspiring basketball player and track athlete, and I kept getting injured in track. And I'm like, all right, I'm trying to do some open mics. So just, you know, it was just to do something, because I couldn't do anything. I was there. I kept pulling my hamstring, and my hip was hurt. I had a bad hip at 18.
It was just
weird. I was with like going to the hospital of senior citizens, like, yeah, I get a bad hip too. So there was nothing I can do. So I just started doing the open mics around my area. So yeah, around 4 years I've been doing it.
That seems like the logical progression is to go from a high school track athlete to open mics. Good for you. I ask you that because when I started doing stand-up, it was the early 90s. There was a boom. There were more clubs than comics, it seemed like. And I was headlining after like a year or two, and I was not ready to headline. Like people would even, I make a joke about it. People would say, are you headlining? And I would say, well, I'm going last. So it was terrifying. Are you, in 4 years is not a long time to be doing stand-up. You're very funny. I've seen your clips, but are you nervous? Is it like when you started headlining, is that like, whoa, that's a lot more time to fill than a feature act where you're doing like 25, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing a lot of half hours. I've been touring with, Andy Beningo a lot. Vince Ferrante a couple of times.
Oh, sure.
With Vince. And so, I just had a lot of chances to kind of run my half hour. I've been featuring more and more. So once you're doing a half hour, and then there's stuff you're plugging in the middle, and it's like, okay. And then, you're doing a half hour, and you're like, oh, there's things I left out. And so what Steve Clemens basically told me, because like he said, hey, what you want headline? I'm like, well, dude, I don't know if I have 45, but I can bring openers. And he goes, do whatever you want to do.
Oh, so, that's great. You know,
around 35 to 40 range. And so around there, it'd be, I'm bringing some pretty funny openers. But doing a longer time can be a bit daunting, especially if you're doing a crowd where they're not feeling it. You're doing a bar gig. Like, yeah, we want you doing like 35. 40,
right.
Okay. You go up, it's like six people are not listening. Right. And you've been up there for 2 minutes. Like, I got to do another 30 minutes.
You burn through that material pretty quick when no one's laughing or when there's only like five people in the room. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I planned for 30. It's like, well, I did my 30 and I've only been up there for 12 minutes.
So, right.
I don't know what now.
I remember I was working at the Funny Bone in Pittsburgh. It was like my first road gig. I was at just the middle act, and I think I needed 25 minutes, and I did like 23. And the guy called me on it. He's like, oh, you got to do your time, bud. And I'm like, oh, did I? I've totally played dumb. But, you know, it's terrifying when you make that next jump that you might not quite be ready for. And I'm not saying you're not. I just remember that brought back a memory when you said that about headlining. So, well, I'm sure you're going to crush it, man. That's pretty cool. So your dad, T.P. Mulrooney, was also a comedian. And when I started doing stand-up in the 90s in Chicago, he was already an established headliner. He was like one of Zany's contracted guys and got a lot of work. He was a very funny guy. What was his reaction when you told him you wanted to be a comedian?
Well, it was mixed, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like he was an insurance salesman. Like, it was what it was like, he never did comedy. He's like, well, if that's what you think, if that's what you want to do, then I will support you.
Oh, that's great.
It wasn't one of these things where it's like, oh, great, you're going to love it. It's going to be amazing. He told me, it's like, you know, I don't want you to come into comedy with wide eyes and think it's going to be all gold. Oh, it's like, it's just, you know, he goes, you have to know what you're getting into. And he goes, and be lucky that you have me to tell you that it's a lot of bad.
Yeah.
It's the road dog. I mean, it's, you know, you gotta work the business, and there's always going to be guys, there's going to be managers that say, well, you know, we want you doing this instead, and you can't, and climbing up and trying to get credits and trying to, you know, advance your career is difficult. And, right. And just the lifestyle as well, you know, the lifestyle, you know, driving all that, putting the miles in your car, being away a lot, because, you know, you have to expect that. You got to be on stage every night, and he goes, you know, that's the way it is. So it was more like, he kind of just made things realistic for me. So I wasn't going in. I think some comics, they get into it and like, I'm going to be famous the first time I'm on stage. I'm just going to walk on stage,
right,
record my set. And then, you know, Louis C.K. is going to see it like, hey, this guy's the new guy. And then you're going to be the big, you know, I some comedians think that.
Yeah.
My dad just told me, like, you know, you're not going to be good at first. Do this. He goes, I'll help you. He's like, I'll help you at first. And I kind of want to write my own material. And he goes, okay, do that.
Wow, that's great. It sounds like he shot you straight, which you appreciate, but he's also willing to help. That's, and it's funny because I remember your dad, T.P. Mulrooney, as a comic. And it's so to hear him, you say that he's actually a very good father like that. Not that I doubted he would be, but he was a very good comic, and I learned a lot watching him. So that's nice that he's helpful like that. My guest is Des Mulrooney. He's a stand-up comic. He's working in Janesville tomorrow night at the Comedy Cabin. Are there still tickets available, Des?
There's definitely tickets available.
Okay.
He just told me if it sold out. That would have been news to me. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, definitely come out. Yeah, I know it's gonna be cold out. You know, things are a little slow, but
sure,
we're gonna have a good time. We're gonna have.
So, what's it like? Like, do you and your dad bounce bits off each other? Who's funnier? Putting you on the spot there.
I am biased. I'm going to say myself in some scenarios. I mean, obviously, I mean, my dad's a master, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we do rooms. Because I did tour with him, actually.
Oh, nice. And
so, yeah. And so, you know, it is a competition when it comes to making my mom laugh, who can make my mom laugh the most. So it's a competition there. You know, there's times where he's the guy, there's times I'm the guy. But
oh, no, that's great.
When it comes to the stage, like, you know, he's been doing it for so long. He's really the guy I learned from. So,
yeah.
You know, I when we do a lot of shows in the road, just watching him is kind of how I got better, seeing him do an hour and seeing that the pacing and seeing what it takes, you know, the dynamics of it. When you take it down, you
right,
take a little break, and then you get, and then you close, and then the closer is is a big ending, but you can't go boom, boom, boom the whole time. You gotta be authentic up
pace
there.
Pace yourself, yeah.
Conversational. You can't just be a joke machine the whole time. So, yeah, no, I mean, my eyes, he's a master at comedy. And so, you know, having him as my dad is great.
Yeah. It's nice that you can tour with him. I didn't even know. I guess we talked on a movie set. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I didn't realize your dad was still touring. So that's pretty cool and nice to have him as a mentor. Where's the first place you went up, Des? First open mic.
So the first time I went on stage, that's one of my dad's shows.
Okay.
It wasn't even an open mic. My dad, I wasn't even really able to find any of the open mics at first, really. I had a hard time finding them. And my dad goes, well, you can do 4 or 5 minutes at my show. I'll bring you down. And so I went with my dad. My mom went to some country club down southern Illinois. And then I see him up there, and I'm just so nervous because it's a show.
Yeah.
And most comics, first time on stage, is an open mic. You know, this is like a show.
And they're expecting you to be good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and my dad did tell the audience, he's like, this is my son, this is his first time on stage. So yeah, there was a little thing like that.
That's great.
It was fine. I mean, if you tell the audience it's your first time on stage, they're going to be a little sympathetic towards you.
Sure.
You know, they're not going to boo you off. I mean, I told the audience it was my first time on stage for like the first 20 times. We go to another show, me and my dad, it was like, it's his first time on stage. This is his first time. It'd be, you know, my 15th time, you know, and like, that was your first time. You're so, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, yeah, first time. But, at first it was pretty good. And then I started doing the open mics and then doing like doing the bar shows. And, for a while, I was just kind of like, he was doing me a favor. But now it's like, you know, now that I have some time and I've been through the clubs now and I've done it 4 years. Now it's like, now my dad actually kind of likes having me on the road, which is nice.
Yeah.
Now he's like trying to like, hey, you got this book. I want you to open for me for this corporate thing we're doing. So now it's like, I'm kind of helping out.
Very nice.
Now, which that feels nice. That's a good thing. So.
I wanted to ask you that because there's a parallel here. And my son tried stand up at 15. This comedy night I book up here in northern Wisconsin. It's a fundraiser we do every year. And he said, Dad, I want to go. He wrote 5 minutes and he went up there. Same deal. And they were good jokes. I helped him a little bit, but they were his jokes and it went over well. And but I just want to tell you, I was scared to death for him. And I'm sure your dad was scared for you. And this is what's going to take us into the next part of the conversation, Des. These things you're saying about your dad, you got to be in a movie. We're going to take a quick break. I hope you can hang with me for like 60 seconds and we'll talk about another really cool thing you've already done in your career, which I'm kind of amazed by. You were in a movie called The Road Dog, with a comedian called Doug Stanhope who played your father. So, that was really interesting and you could bring stuff to that role. And, disclaimer, I was in the film too, and I played a comedy club owner, which was really fun, but I got to watch Des work and we'll talk to him a little bit about that, after a break. Once again, before we go to the break, the club is called the Comedy Cabin in Janesville. There are still tickets. Des will be there tomorrow night. And who else is on the show with you?
Who I have opening for me is Justin Arsenault, very funny comic. That's from St. Charles, also my hometown. He's a good buddy of mine. Brando Harris, he's all over Chicago. Alex Savant will be making a guest appearance. Alex Savant's kind of a name in Wisconsin. So
okay.
I got some good guys opening.
Well, so, Alex he needs to reach out to me. I'd love to have him on the show. We love to promote Wisconsin comics here. My guest is Des Mulrooney. We are going to be right back and we're going to talk about a movie he was in called The Road Dog. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
It seems like everywhere you look right now, someone is sick. This year, prepare your family for airborne invaders like bacteria, pollen, and yes, germs with Navage Nasal Care. Navage flushes ultra-pure, refreshing saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out of the other nostril. Navage sucks out viruses, dust, and other airborne particles, all the stuff that gets trapped in your nose, making you miserable. Don't get caught empty-handed this winter. Get Navage, the drug-free solution that helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier. Even better, Navage is HSA FSA eligible, so Navage is a great way to spend those funds before they expire. Don't wait a minute longer. Buy Navage today and you'll breathe easier knowing you're putting your funds to good use. Navage is available online at Navage.com or Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to Nightlight. In the home stretch here tonight. Thanks everybody for your text tonight. And I'd like to thank my guests from the Journal Sentinel, Chris Foran, and poet James Roberts. And right now, helping me close out the show is comedian Des Mulrooney. He will be in Janesville tomorrow night at the Comedy Cabin. Check him out there tomorrow, Thursday night in Janesville. Des, I wanted to talk to you. We were both in the same movie. I did a kind of a cameo. I got to play a club owner. Greg Liana is the director and the writer, and Tony Boswell. He co-wrote the film. Greg and I wrote together for years and still do sometimes, and we had some success. And he called and asked me if I wanted to play a club owner, a guy we both knew. And I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Yeah. So I just had like a few lines. It was so fun. You were the lead. You're like, 23 at the time, 22 maybe. And you're kind of the co-lead or supporting actor opposite Doug Stanhope, another very well-known comedian. The film is called The Road Dog. Talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah. I mean, it was a dream come true. I mean, it's just one of those things, like, I couldn't believe it even while it was happening. Cause, Doug, Stanhope was like one of the first guys that kind of watched,
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. I mean, Louis C.K., Mark Maron, and then him and a few other guys, but like, he's just one of those guys you always heard about, always respected. And so when Gliana, heard about me, cause he saw like a post me and Vince Moranto did, we did some show together. And he kind of, he said he saw a clip of me doing something, and then he reached out to me. And then he was kind of telling me the guys, like, he was thinking of casting for the lead. And it was all, like, big comedians. And Doug's name was one of them. I'm like, Jesus, is this really happening? I didn't even know what it was at first. I don't know if I told you the story before, but, like, how I originally got it. Because my dad knew Greg Liana way back.
Sure.
Doing the Chicago comedy scene. And so Greg kind of reached out to me saying, hey, I used to know your dad a long time ago. And he goes, have you done any, I saw your set, whatever. He said, have you done any acting? And I didn't know what it was at first. Because I see a bunch of messages all the time where this guy's, hey, I knew your dad. I'm like, okay. And so I asked my dad, say, hey, yeah, you know Greg Liana? And my dad's like, yeah. Yeah, why? He goes, oh, he reached out to me, asked if I've done any acting. He's like, well, that guy's a big director. He goes, he messaged you? I'm like, yeah. He's let me see it. And he goes, when did he send you this? I'm like, oh, like 3 days ago. My dad goes, Des, he's like, this isn't some guy you leave on red for 3 days. He goes, respond to him right now. And I go, okay. And I'm like, I respond to Greg, like, yeah, I've done a couple of acting classes and whatnot. And essentially Greg said, well, there's a part that I think you might be good for. And essentially we, did like a Zoom audition and stuff, and we stayed in contact. And then that's kind of how that happened. But it was just kind of, it was just so surreal how it worked out.
That's I love stories like that too, where you can't believe someone is reaching out to you or what they're saying to you, because there's a comedian, Drake Sather, who's no longer with us, but there's a just kind of a story that made the rounds in comedy that Robert Morton from the David Letterman show called him, saw him, his tape somewhere, and said, Drake, this is Robert Morton from the David Letterman show. We'd like you to be on the show. And he didn't believe it was him.
And he basically told him to screw off and hung up. And then Morton called back. He's like, listen, this really is Robert Morton. Please don't hang up. So that's just a great story that there was something actually that came out of that rather than just the usual stuff you get. So did you and Doug hit it off right away when you got to the set? Was there instant chemistry, or how did that go?
It felt great the moment we did a read through. I'd say a week before we started filming, so Doug flew into Chicago, you know, a little early, and we did like a read through at like the headquarters or whatever they call it. It was an office space.
Production offices, yeah.
First, I did a couple rehearsals with just Greg, and he was kind of working the part with me. And this is also while they're doing auditions and stuff, and they have like projectors, and it's just craziness happening. You see all the cameras and the people around. Like, wow, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
And so then Doug came in. And so me and Doug basically read through the whole script a couple times, and it just kind of it kind of clicked, you know, from the first time we were rehearsing with each other. We kind of had chemistry immediately. We both kind of knew what the part required and what the other character was, and then I felt like that aspect of it clicked, you know, pretty quickly. We had chemistry pretty early on.
That's great. You kind of look, I wouldn't say you look like him, but I totally bought that you could be his son. You know what I mean?
Good.
It was really good casting on for both of you. Where can people see that movie now? And talk about some of the awards it's won. That's really exciting.
Yes. So right now it's on Amazon and Apple TV. So you got on both those platforms. At least a few awards. I mean, it was in a bunch of festivals and won Best Picture at one of them, the Hollywood Independent Real Film Festival.
Okay.
And I flew out for that one because that was like the premiere.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
And Greg's like, hey, man, you should probably come out, you know, and show face. And, because we might win awards and take a bunch of pictures. And I'm telling – so much of the cast came out. Doug couldn't go to that one, but he came out to the theatrical premiere at the Pickwick in Chicago.
Okay.
But I won Best Picture at that film festival. That was really fun. That was my first time in Hollywood, and I was kind of just seeing like the whole craziness of everything.
Your first time in Hollywood, and you're in a movie that won an award. Like, where do you go from there? Right? That's pretty cool.
It was cool.
Yeah.
And seeing the whole cast there again, kind of like a reunion. It was
just
really cool. And, you know, seeing myself on screen for the first time was a little weird. I had to sit in the back of the theater because I don't really like watching myself too much. Even my stand-up clips, like, it doesn't matter what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't really like, you know, watching myself do anything. And so, let alone a big, film. And so it's in a theater, and then people are walking into the theater. I'm like, oh my God. And so I just sat in the back and just kind of like in my chair.
That's so great. Dez, we're unfortunately out of time, but I really appreciate this. It was so great having you tonight, and we'll have to do this again. Good luck tomorrow. The club is the Comedy Cabin in Janesville, and Dez will be there tomorrow night, Thursday. Go check him out. He's a very funny guy. Look for his next acting gig. I'm sorry we didn't get more into the acting, but we'll do that again next time. Have a great night and break a leg tomorrow night. Thanks, Dez.
All good. Thank you so much, Pete.
You got it. Anytime. All right. Well, if you are in the Madison area, stick around for Mad Unity, a great show that airs in Madison after Nightlight. I'd like to thank my guests again, Chris Foran, James Roberts, Dez Mulrooney. What a fun night here at Nightlight again. Have a great night, everybody. Good night, Wisconsin.
Talk for Homan on Alaska and, of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.